Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, monthly album roundup for the month of October 2019. I'm your host, Robert, and I fucking hate Kokichi Oma. And with me, I have...
Y'all can blame me for this being so late. The lesson is, never get sick.
And...
Wow, Camp Wognog! Oh boy, this is gonna be a whole bunch of big stands. What about this shit?
I have. Like, let me honestly, just say, I haven't seen that honestly, video yet. I still really want to.
I feel bad for Tyler because it's like, because he won this, but now Bunga Beer Tip by the Drake stand is going to be visited about people to say, y'all just hate him because he's popular. Or maybe just hate him because, well, he's not that fucking good.
Yeah, and we've tried listening to his albums. Believe me, we've bitched about them on this podcast on multiple occasions. So you can't say we didn't delve into those waters. We're not talking out of our ass here, people. We don't hate from ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that is what it is. And, you know, we're not here to talk about that because there is no Drake here this past month. October.
Or the year.
Yeah, for this whole year. But, yeah, October. A month of spooktastic, spooky shit, and just waiting until November 1st so all the candy goes on discount. Truly the most beautiful time of the year is Discount Chocolate Week.
The most wonderful time of the year.
God. Oh, Mark. Yeah, and then we're obviously skipping straight to Christmas. You know, so Mariah Carey can start collecting her royalty checks. Such is the world we live in. But anyway, there was definitely some stuff that came out in October, so let's actually talk about some of the stuff that did come out in October. Let's start off with the rock, indie, punk, folk shit. Starting at the top, there was the new album from Foals, the follow-up to their first part of Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost, with, you know, part two of that. There was the new album from Refused with War Music. There was a new Third Eye Blind project called Screamer. A new project from rock band Alter Bridge with Walk the Sky. We had a new one from Jimmy Eat World called Surviving. There was a new project from Noise Rockers Lightning Bolt with Sonic Citadel. There was a new solo project from Alice in Chains vocalist William Duvall with One Alone. And a new one from punk rockers The Menzingers with Hello Exile. Now to move on to the metal and hardcore releases, starting with the newest one from death metalers Gate Creeper with Deserted. The newest one from Japanese Doom Icons Boris with Love and Evil. The newest one from melodic death metalers Insomnium with Heart Like a Grave. Thrash act Toxic Holocaust coming with Primal Future 2019. A new one from death metalers Exhumed with Horror. A new one from Toothgrinder called I Am. A new one from hardcore act Gideon with Out of Control. The new Devil Wears Prada album, The Act. There was the new album from Lacuna Coil with Black Anima. A new one from Black Metalers 1349 with The Infernal Pathway. A new Alcest project called Spiritual Instinct. A new project from Botanist with Ecosystem. A new one from Death Metalers Hour of Penance with Mesotheism. The newest one from Ginger with Macro. Rob Halford cashing in early on the Christmas album trend with Celestial. A new one from prog act Leprous with Pitfalls. The newest one from French gent act Uneven Structure with Paragon. The new Mayhem project Damon. A new one from Norma Jean called All Hail. The new Fit for an Autopsy project, The Sea of Tragic Beasts. A new Rings of Saturn project called Who Gives a Shit. Sun O releasing their second album of the year with Pyroclast. And of course, our Japanese overlords Baby Metal coming at us with Metal Galaxy. Now moving on to the realm of hip-hop and R&B, we had the newest one from underground rapper Homeboy Sandman with Dusty. We had the return of Clipping with There Existed an Addiction to Blood. There was a new project from Gucci Mane called Woptober 2. We had the debut full-length album from YK Osiris with The Golden Child. There was a new project from Youngboy Never Broke Again with AI Youngboy 2. A new compilation from 88 Rising called Head in the Clouds 2. There was a new Lil' Kim project called 9. A new Wale album, Wow, That's Crazy. Unfortunately, Kanye West following through, actually, on Jesus is King. But at the very least, we had Danny Brown come back finally with You Know What I'm Saying. And now for the pop and electronic stuff, there was a new Jacques Green project, Dawn Chorus, a new Caroline Polachek album, Pang, a surprise new one from Chromatics with Closer to Grey, the debut full-length from industrial electronic Exonal with Wrecked, there was a new Amon Tobin project, Long Stories, the new Mike Posner mixtape, Keep Going, a new Ringo Starr album, What's My Name, and of course the new James Blunt project, Once Upon a Mind. But who cares about James Blunt and Ringo Starr? We're here to get to the good shit, you know, the relevant stuff that all the kids are into because we're popular and hip like that, and also we're not boomers. Ah, what a delicious meme. Anyway, as always, we're going to throw it over to Alex, who's going to get us started with the usual business.
Yes, and with my usual business, it will be, as always, my very few selections, because there's just not enough time in the day. Oh, God.
There never is.
I see the stack of albums staring at me. I will get to you eventually, okay? We got 6 weeks until the end of the year. I will get to all of you. But much like Chevy Chase in Caddyshack 2, I am here to do my part and nothing more. So, I'm going to start with the new Lacuna Coil album, Black Anima. And the career path of this band has been very interesting over the past couple of years, with lows, Shallow Life, and highs with Broken Crown Halo, which was great. And changes abound with the lineup, from Delirium, which was alright. And now, with their first new album in 3 years, there's more of a darker and harder-hitting edge to the band. But it starts off kinda weird with Anima Nera, an electro-infused piano ballad with a very strange vocal approach from vocalist Christina Scabia. I don't know how to describe it, besides, the Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz, if they were grown adults. It's weird. It's very, very, Halloween-ish. I don't know how to describe it. You have to hear it to really understand what I'm trying to get across here. Also, I was today years old when I found out Christina Scabia is 47.
Huh. Well, okay then.
It don't crack. That Italian blood don't crack.
No, it don't.
Yeah. Now, the two lead-off singles we've heard, Reckless and Layers of Time, are still pretty solid bangers. Nothing more to add there. And going through the rest of the album, it plays out like a more aggressively infused Lacuna Coil, with low-tune, chugging riffs from guitarist Didi Cavallotti, and more menacing and growling vocals from other vocalist, Andrea Ferro. Now or Never showcases this in a great way with Andrea taking the lead on the vocal approach, and it gets pretty heavy. Same with Under the Surface, working really well in tandem with Christina's more melodic vocals. Venificium is when more of the gothic metal elements come into play, complete with Latin verses and a main rhythm melody that feels very reminiscent of something I'd hear off of Cumalize, great album. That early period Lacuna Coil, you know, back when the whole gothic metal thing was in vogue. The closing track, the title track, serves as a nice condensed package of all the main elements of the album, all rolled into one song, and it's a pretty dang strong album closer. It's heavy, abrasive, very quick, and serves as a nice bow for this album. Most reviews I've seen for it have it giving more of a mixed reception, and I can kind of get why. But for me, I hear this as a solid Lacuna Coil album with just a few extra notches of heaviness, and that's alright by me. Not a groundbreaking album, but it's good. It's a good album. And, I gave this new album from The Devil Wears Prada a shot, The Act, and, okay, look, I like some of the stuff on Switchblade, The Thread, and Spiderhead. They're pretty heavy, have some good energy to them, but a lot of this album just doesn't work for me. It feels like it's trying a little too hard to appeal more to, like, the alt-press side crowd, and it's just really all over the place sonically. There is no one consistent tone on this album. It's kind of a problem. Oh well, at least we'll have most of Death Room to come back to. Can't ever take that away. Now, I'll leave the deeper analysis on this new Danny Brown album, you know what I mean, to you guys, but my two cents? This is damn good. Real damn good. That's all that needs to be said. 30 minutes of good hip-hop. And speaking of, if you like underground hip-hop, noise rock out the ass, electrowave, and Polyphia doing a cover of the opening to Berserk 2016, then the Needle Drop compilation is the album for you. And all the proceeds go to a good cause as well. It's a very interesting, eclectic mishmash of some of the stuff that we know Fantano likes. And oh boy, going from track to track, it makes for an interesting listening experience. 1 minute you're going to listening to Open Mic Eagle doing some killer bars, and then all of a sudden, screeching, piercing noise rock vocals. Oh, and Couch Chesta is here doing a bad Migos impression for some reason, so if you're into that, then there you go.
But if Migos is already bad, then does doing a bad Migos impression make it good?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure we could ask someone at Pitchfork about that later. Just keep that in mind. I'm going to bring that back in later. But anyway. Okay, so it's been a while since we've taken a look at what Mr. Mike Portnoy has been doing lately. A couple months. And now I get to talk about him again this year with the new Flying Colors album, Third Degree. And while the Neil Morse Band's latest album may not make my year-end list, spoiler, it's not making it, sorry. This album right here from Flying Colors is serving itself as a strong contender. Quick background, Flying Colors, prog rock power pop supergroup with Mike Portnoy, Neil Morse, guitarist Steve Morse, no relation, bassist Dave LaRue, and vocalist guitarist Casey McPherson. They formed in 2011, I believe, 2011 or 2012, with a great debut album. I was a big fan of that self-titled debut album. Their second album, Second Nature, it was just too power pop for my taste. I didn't like it as much. This album, thankfully, is going back to more of a harder rock sound, thank you, with its first two tracks serving as strong rock bops out of the gate. Those tracks being, if I can pull it up, God, be prepared, The Lost Inside and more. A great 1-2 punch to kick off the album. Now, songs like Cadence and Last Train Home, not a JoJo reference, put your hand down, Rob.
Aww.
They are sweeping anthemic prog tracks through and through, as is the closer, Crawl, while Guardian has a bit of a Beatles flair to it. Because, you know, Mike Portnoy really likes the Beatles, if you can't tell. Geronimo, that has some interesting funk bass lines with Dave LaRue hitting the slap on the bass all over. I hope Davey 504 is listening. Now, there are some power pop elements on here on the tracks You Are Not Alone and Love Letter, which are, I mean, they're fine. They're okay. They're not my favorite tracks on the album, but they don't bring the whole album down a lot. I will say this is a better album than their previous one, Second Nature, because there is more of that rock sound all throughout. It's consistent. Devil Wears Prada. And, yeah. But this is really just a warm-up for Transatlantic's new album next year. Oh, I'm so happy for it.
It is a thing.
Yes, I'm very excited for it. And this brings me to the latest album from Baby Metal, Metal Galaxy.
Yeah.
This ain't heavy metal. Welcome to the world of baby metal. That's how album number 3 starts off, with Future Metal, a nice short intro. And then things get paced up significantly on Dada Dance. A
track AKA that I can, the song that ruined my fucking life. For reasons.
I'm sure we'll get to that later. Yeah, it's a track that I can call rave metal. full of pop flavor EDM synths and low tune chucking riffs, and it's good. It's very good. Let's take a moment to acknowledge that the riffs and guitars are way lower and heavier on this album, and they're either super detuned A strings, or the Kami band have acknowledged the meme levels of Jared Dines and Andrew Baena and have gone down to 9 strings.
Ayy.
Maybe a little bit of both, I don't know. But yeah, heavy, heavy guitars. I like it. Now, much like how Shanti is very Bollywood, there's a bit of a theme with this album as it's sort of going all over the place on the map. Night Night Burn, it has a bit of a Latin Cubano flavor to it. While Oh Maginai is very Irish, I think. And it features Joaquin Brodin of Sabaton on it. And I have no idea what to make of it other than it's the heaviest jig I've heard in a long while. And that goes right into the next track, Brand New Day. It has an interesting arrangement to it. Pretty boppy, a little proggy, and has a pair of guitarists on it as features as well. Tim Henson and Scott LePage of Polyphia. Hi again.
Hey.
Yeah, you can tell who's playing what on there. Got the great skills. Now, In the Name Of, it feels kind of weird. It's an omnipresent voice with this driving rhythm, almost like it's meant to be an opener of some kind. But for the Japanese release of the album, this is actually the first track of the second disc of the album. That's how it was released. It was a 2-CD release. Now, we're missing 2 tracks in the international release that were part of that double disc release. The tracks, I'm not making this up, Up, Down, Left, Right, BBAB, and BMC, whatever those means. And since I have no legal way to get around to those tracks, I can't really talk about them in this capacity. I might on another platform, you know, wherever you find all that kind of good stuff. And yeah, that's kind of annoying. Why do you cut tracks from international releases? I thought we talked about this in the 90s with boy band albums. You don't do that.
Some things just never change.
Yeah. Anyway, that track leads into Distortion. It's still as awesome as it was when it first came out. And there is a quote I want to bring in from The Guardian's review of this album, because there's an interesting part of that review, as the writer calls it. This is an exact quote from this review of the album from The Guardian. Metal Galaxy is dopest of the brackets kawaii metal on brackets form. Call it the kawaii metal, my beautiful dark twisted fantasy.
Okay.
So does
Did
that
Fantano
mean
Fantano give it a 6 out of 10?
And you stole my line. God damn it.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, but jokes aside, Kagero is a solid mid-album track, and that leads right into the amazing Starlight. And having heard it off and on for what feels like a year, I can say this is definitely my favorite baby metal song. God damn, it packs a punch. It's so good. And there are still 2 more tracks after it, Shine and Arcadia. Shine has that strong, emotionally anthemic feel to it, like the one has on the second album, while Arcadia, epic as shit. Oh my god, blistering guitar licks, super fast double bass drum patterns, majestic vocal melodies, an amazing album closer to what is a damn amazing album from the true queens of whatever the hell my beautiful dark twisted fantasy is as Japanese metal. That's apparently a weird pull quote. But yeah, this album, so good. Oh god, it's so good. And time to do some rearranging for that year-end list. Strong, strong top contender right here.
Yep, and there will be more to say on that later. But of course, now comes the middle part of the podcast, where Mark talks about the many ways that he attempted to avoid listening to Jesus is King. Because I know you forced yourself to listen to many a bad rap album, but I know you have a limit.
Yeah, it's, yes, I did. I don't believe it. I did not listen to Jesus King because, like, yeah, like, I thought I was like, you know what, I'm just going to skip this because, like, I already did my Kanye thing last year, even though I, like, did 3 out of 5 albums that year, this my stuff is going to be pretty, well, slim than most months. Like, I have, like, 6 albums to talk about. But I'm going to get to the first 4 first before I get to the big ones because, you know, gotta save the best for last. First, I'm going to speak about this new A8 Rising album. Yeah, that's right. People that be probably not first few feasts or hot ones that got their second compilation of their compilation album, the Head in the Clouds 2. And I'm gonna say this. I mean, it's not really that different from the first one. I mean, it's still got the, you know, poppy R&B rap vibes, which is kind of nice. I will say this. Didn't we release this for the summer or at least 3 months ago? Because it sounds like this would have been something for, I don't know, July or August. But then again, I guess in. To be with Rich Brian's second album, which we covered. But yeah, this album's pretty much what I got from the first one. I mean, it's still a decent listen. I mean, you do get some, you know, very summery vibes for tracks like These Nights with Rich Brian and Chung Ha. Yeah. And we get some highlights with, Nikki, the other artist on the label with songs like Strangeland, Indigo, and La La Lost You. And of course, was get, you know, Joji, who, actually, he's the second producer of this album, I can see Joji's handprint. Yeah, I can see Joji's handprint all around this. Like, it's very, you know, summery, sing some type of shit. But yeah, it's a I album. It's an I album. Like, you do get a lot of, you know, appearances from, you know, Cult of Life. Like Jackson Wang, Higher Brothers, August 8th. And then you get some, you know, outside features like Gold Link, Major Lazer, Sway Lee, because, you know, they like that. I mean, although I will say the features, well, outside features, they're less than last time. Guess they're focused more on the label collective, which I guess you want to, you know, put that around. Like, you want to make sure you get your people the time spotlight, which they do, and I can say it's okay vibe music. I can definitely listen to it from time to time. But I will say, if I listened to this like 3 months earlier, or, you know, around summertime, it'd be fine. But still, it's a good album. All right, next up we have Homeboy Sandman with Dusty. And I keep this short. Like, the name of the album is what the album applies. Like, it's very dusty lo-fi hip hop, and it is definitely good. And knowing how he used to be on Stone's Throw, but now on Metal Music Group, you can see why he's especially with those labels. Like, this is it does have some lyricism working for him, and I will say, like, you know, he took out some Jay-Z production. You got some psychedelic sounds, like you heard on the single Far Out, which is still a good single. Like, this album is actually, you know, it's like a 30 minute plus album, which good. He keeps showing consistent. They get checks like Picture on the Wall, which got this damn good soul sample. I like that. It plays the overlay. Like, something like, so, but which I can't sing in it, but it's still a good sample. Like, even got one track, you got one track called Pussy for like 2 minutes, which, you know, is about sex, but it's actually, but it's, you know, it's still good. It's from him. It's like, it's actually, you know, it's actually good. It's actually good. And like, I do, like, I was getting like these instrumental cuts, like, you get like Warding Yawn, which, okay, starter track is like starter album, which, okay, that's good. And you get Every 4 Years, which is a 16 second instrumental, which is like, okay, that sounds nice. Like, you do get some interesting tracks, like Yes Allah, like Yes I, or Wondering Why, like, or like all these songs do some lo-fi hip you can get into, and seeing Homeboy Sandman, you know, carrying the whole project by himself, which, you know, with Clay Chris and Yo Old Drew being on lookout, the soul check with those two features on it. But yeah, like, he definitely carried this album. And again, I can see how someone put on the list, some will put on the list by the end of the year. But I can definitely say this track. It's almost worth looking into. Especially if you're very much a fan of, you know, lo-fi, dusty hip hop, especially coming from the realm of Metal Music Group. And now things get a little poppier, because I have another album which I think you didn't mention before, but this one's from Angel Olsen.
Oh.
It's titled All Mirrors. Yeah, like, it was released the same day as another album that I'll get to in a minute, but I listened to this maybe several times while checking it out, and I gotta say, I was really getting into it a lot. Like, you got this very, very ethereal chamber pop type of sound. It feels this big booming sound, but not like in terms of instruments, but more like in terms of how it's performed with her, and I kind of do dug with it like a lot. Like, I love the title track All Mirrors, which definitely caught me all so much listening with the first time. Like, there's some other tracks that I do like that feel like Too Easy have this very soothing feel to it, which I get into. New Love Cassette has this very chill sound, so soft sound, I do like how Angel has this voice with hers, and Summer, also another track of mine, but I'm really digging this album a lot. I didn't think about listening at first, but the more I keep going back to it, and I'm kind of enjoying this. I think it was the more I really like it, the more I listen to it, the more, because it just kind of hit me, like, you know. Speaking of stuff that does hit me a bit, the new Chromatics album, Closer to Gray,
still not Dear Tommy, but at least it's something.
Yeah. Not, well, I don't know if I'm the only one to listen to it, but I will say that. Again, I have some pop vibes from this, but it's more, you know, more glamorized, you know, disco Italiano type of shit going on with it. Like, the moment the song You're No Good plays, I was really into this song. Like, I keep on playing this again and again, going back to single tracks. I just kind of love the vibe it goes to, especially the music video, which I really dug a lot. Like most of the sound coming from them, it got this very cinematic sound. I love how it plays from beginning to end. Like, you get, I think their cover of The Sound of Silence, which I was cool with. I liked the sound. I mean, I ain't heard too many versions of it. I mean, I know I heard people say, I mean, I heard some versions of it, which, you know, kind of bad, but this was still good. Like the music, I really was getting, I really was, you know, I think, I think this is, you gotta be in the mood to listen to this. Like, it's really got that cinematic pop, the cinematic pop sound to it, which I kind of do fuck with when it comes to pop music. Like, if it has that cinematic feel, or at least something you would play in the movie, don't Chromatix work with David Lynch a lot?
Yeah, now that you mention it, I think they do.
Let's say all y'all, David Lynch fans, like, y'all love that the Twin Peaks, that the TV series, like, you hear somebody that episode that would fit in there. I kind of get that. I'm fucking with this. It's really good. Okay, and now I got this one out of the way. Let's get to the big one. But first, let me set it up. It was the week of October 3rd, every 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Or at least, you know, in between. Well, it was a grand week. I turned 29. A douchebag got his ass handed because of his incompetent lawyers.
$500,000, baby.
Yeah. Not to mention you got handed close to the birthdays of the people you're suing. Oh, that makes it so much sweeter. And also, but what also sweet is this new album by Danny Brown. You know what I'm saying?
Know what I'm saying?
Now, going to this album, which I know people spent a lot from this, especially with this previous album, such as Exhibition, which is, well, which we call one of the best albums of 2016. And we know we might be touching some different shit with this, because, like, well, it was a big deal considering that Q-Tip, who's a producer, he ended up with production of it since it's different from Paul White, who did the last album, but he's on here still, but mainly like a few, maybe like one or few songs. Like, I will say this for this album, it is more laid back than his previous albums. I will say than the previous one, because, like, we get in touch with Q-Tip, you know, Q-Tip's one, you know, very smooth, jazzy, that type of shit, and well, aside from him, we get, you know, but up to credits from, you know, again, Paul White, JPEG Mafia, Final Lewis and Thundercat. you know things are gonna get different and good, and of course you got some Lena Ming features. Of course, what you got Peggy himself, you got Blood Orange, and of course, Run the Jewels Fast. Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
Run the Jewels Fast. And I'm gonna say this. 3 Tiers is fucking great. Like, I know people don't kind of get to it because, like, the whole offbeat production from JPEG Mafia make I throw them off a bit. But I listen to it a lot more, and this shit kicks. It fucking hits. It fucking hits. Especially when you get the LPs first, when he says like. Like we believe in nothing, Lebowski. That's Lebowski. There's no motive. I babble and trying to get back. It's like, fuck all of them. Death on my couch. I'm telling jokes, stalling him. Like, you kind of get the reference. You get that. And then I like how when Killer Mike did his verse, he said, "Bitch, out of your goddamn mind." And that's goddamn right. I'm goddamn Mike. Went in the end like Tina did goddamn Ike, which. Hey, reference Tina actually being the good person in the argument. Cause it's not like somebody else did use that again and they fucked it up. you do get some with a part on Change Up, the first track, which you got this weird drum work on there, and then it'll work with him something, and then on Theme Song, which got this very violent melody on there, which you got ASAP Ferg doing ad-libs going, oh, yeah, which I'm kind of laughing at because now I kind of want ASAP Ferg doing ad-libs when I'm doing shit like, I'm being serious. Oh, I'm washing my car. Yeah, I'm going to the bank. Oh, I'm looking at my wallet. Yeah, wait. Anyone, can I go home now? Like, we're not paying you now. Okay.
It's the dream, man.
Yeah. Well, okay. Like I said, I'm just have a little different post to it. Like with a Best Life, which is more upbeat and soulful. Like, the thing is, it didn't got a very, you know, very, like, soulful instrumental going to it. I mean, you seen the video. Oh, and by the way, there's a video for that out now, which got this, which, okay, the videos look kind of nice. It's got both a floral look to it. But yeah, you'll see. And another highlight song is a Nico Spiritual, which, yes, we get to get from good old Flalo and Thundercat on that bass. And I will say this, JPEG Mafia, he does the hook, which, okay, I mean, I look for a verse, but okay. And then when I heard the hook, I'm like, that for real? No, that's JPEG. Like, that's JPEG singing. Like, singing, doing the singing nigga shit. And then of course you get shine with Blood Orange, a guy, somebody who recently I've been, you know, he's been on my favorite list for some time now. And now I'll say this to you. It may not be, you know, a Chinese exhibition, but It's not less an album. It's still a damn good rap album from Danny Brown, and I think it shows that, you know, like, you know, as he's getting older, and, you know, since then he has got some things in his life, you know, fixed around. Like, you know, he did fix his teeth, fix his feet. He's looking like somebody under school, like trying to look nice in the school picture, you know, trying to, you know, get his shit together. That's a good thing for Danny Brown. That's a good thing for Danny Brown. It doesn't mean his music will be any less. His music is still good, and I like that growth in him. So, in closing words, this album is dope. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And now for the last album, things get kind of creepy. I can't do it. I don't know that working, but... Yes. We get to the final album that I'm going to talk about, and that is, from Sub Pop Records, Clipping. There's Sissy in A Ditch in the Blood.
Blood.
Ah, yes. The other hip hop group in Sub Pop Records that has to check out because you already fuck with Fish Bass Palaces. Hear about this album, Dirty Sisters in the Blood, which, okay, I'm digging the concept of it. Like, it does, you know, it's very horrorcore sound, which is, you know, relates to, you know, like, you know, mostly horror, but more of stuff happening, like, in, you know, in recent time, more like, you know, like, stuff in neighborhood, like, stuff in, like, you know, violence throughout history and mankind, especially, you know, racism, all that type of shit. Like, we get, like, of course we get things like Levin Gets Safe. We just got this very, you know, John Carpenter inspired production, which, you know, that describes, you know, cops in the trap house, which he goes along with, Windows Born and Sealed, Doors Are Bolted and Locked, Part Cooking and Paste, Women Fully Stocked, Bodies Sleeping in Shifts, All the Bodies Keeping Watch, Bullets Are Green, Everybody Keep Watching for the Stop Pop Pop, which describes all the testing habit of when you try to run from the cops and then you're hoping you don't get shot. Now, listen, this album does have plenty of that shit. Now, again, I'll say this, my favorite track of this album will be La Mala Ordina, and yes, the more I listen to that shit, the more I really fall in love with this track. So, like, maybe because of me, I say more of the concept going into it. It's like how the gangsters, how they be hard and shit, but we ran into some real gangsters, with some real motherfuckers, like, as in, let's say, like in the song, let's say they're portrayed by, you know, El Camino being the butcher, I could buy that. I could see, I could see it. I guess they'd be about to fuck you up. And of course, we get the, you know, harsh noise by the Rita, you know, the whole distortion, which kind of symbolizes that, you know, how your life is pretty much, ended. The distortion means that they're fucking you up. You're dead now. As in, yeah, you know, he dead. Speaking of he dead, another song I fuck with the who doing the chorus, Air Balloon, which he's kind of as an elderly, like, to me, it's like an elderly man would tell you to stay away from this place or else you're dead. And of course, you got the V Dig spitting out bars about how they're looking for running for you, and you wonder why they're looking for you. Over you going around like the horrifying feel. And speaking of, another horrifying feel is the Club Down, which you got the song of you know being shot in the club. It would you hear background screams, gunshots a lot. Like basically the dread of trying to run for your life if with my shooting up with a shooting on the club, you're trying to run and hide for your life. And of course, and you get like some things of exorcism with All in Your Head, which. I'm guessing there's like this pimp talk. This pimp talk is recontextualized as an exorcism, that's a smart idea. That's a good creative idea with that. And it could lead to a gospel outro, which is sung by Counterfeit Madison, which, okay, I'm definitely fuck with that. I can fuck with this. I can definitely fuck with this. Like the album here, this had this sense of dread and fear, and you feel it's awful of terror, it's awful of terror, and you think this fucking terrifies me. Oh my god, I you feel something in your throat, like it's terrified, and yet the folks at Pitchfork don't think so for some fucking reason, which they said. It's somehow the most bloodless project to date. Which, wait, what? Bloodless?
Oh, dear lord.
And what did Pitchfork rate this album?
They gave this a 4.5 out of 10.
And you want to know the kicker? This writer, who shall remain nameless because we will not publicize such bad takes, also reviewed for Pitchfork earlier this year, Father of Four from Offset, and that rating was a 6.9.
Oh, wow. Oh, God.
For an album that said writer claims offers glimpses of the rapper as a compelling storyteller and bluesman.
What?
Hang on. So, the album from the guy who was known for weaving lyrically dense stories, often with such complex themes and wording, and even writing techniques such as never using first person in his lyrics, is the one given the 4.5, but the guy whose rhymes never extend beyond rhyming ho, bitch, and yo, and just ad-libbing every other line, gets the higher score. Why?
Yep, and this is the same publication company that gave Jesus is King a 7.2.
7.2. What the fuck?
Okay. Did they not like the last chunk of the album, which was, let's see, Piano Burning, which is, well, a piano burning for 18 minutes. Like, you hear just wood kindling, burning, all that shit. That's what it basically is, just that. And you know what? I get why it's on there. I get why, like, you know how I now kept ever since like how you die, you just lay there, and you know the crackling life just fading away like that. Like, I get like I get into that track. I just won't go back to it as much when going to individual tracks. But yeah. I just gotta say this album is. That was so fucking good. Like this is what it definitely just gets to your nerve. Like you had this unnerving feeling every time you listen to this album, and the way the V Diggs rap, he does rap fast, but he's not doing no bullshit. He's not just saying filler bars just to say what you want, like some other rappers. Logic, Eminem. I took the hell out of this album, and this is a you know what? It is a contender for album. It is one of my albums of the year. I'm just glad this is my first time experiencing Clippy for the first time, and in album form, and I just gotta say I'm definitely in love with this album. I think it's one of my best. It's one of the best albums of the year. But when it comes to summer, it be on there. Clipping. There's this addition to blood. There's this addition to me. Well, me loving this.
Yeah, and if you're a Pitchfork, there existed an addiction to getting your scores all mixed up.
Yeah.
Pitchfork Media.
And people wonder why you've been a laughingstock since the Brian DiCrescendo days. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
And people wonder why your hip hop reviews nobody gives a shit about, especially hip hop fans. And believe me, most people who point it out, they really don't fucking like you when you posted that shit.
Straight up, man. Straight up. It's really all that needs to be said. But anyway, time to move on to the last third of this podcast, which is, of course, me going down a massive list of albums, because I had a lot to listen to. But I promise I'll try to be succinct. And it'll be easy because these first two albums are, of course, the rap ones I listened to and were already talked about here. So, tagging it off here, first off, let's, of course, spend more time talking about Clipping. Because, seriously, this was a much-needed record for the spooky shit of Halloween. I mean, come on, when you open off with the fucking Halloween homage of Nothing Is Safe, that creepy John Carpenter piano synth beat, soundtracking a terrifying tale of a gang getting shot up by cops in a trap house, just only one man was sent to the coroner, wasn't part of the plan, it is perfectly setting the tone for how creepy and grisly everything gets. Specifically with an album that more or less fuses, like, you know, commentary on racial and racist violence nowadays with horror motifs. Like, He Dead filters the idea of police brutality through metaphors of the police being werewolves. This ain't a knife to a gunfight, but more twig to a tank. They say these bullets hollow. Holler if you feel the same. Say you need silver bullets. Holler if you got a chain. And then, you know, you get other tracks like La Mala Ordina with people, you know, gangsters thinking they can, you know, go up to the big leagues. But once they see what being a gangster is like in real life, fucking their shit gets fucked up royally. And, you know, listening to it more and more, I thought, like, the stuff from, like, Benny the Butcher was a little bit discordant, but, you know, looking back on it, it kind of fits. And then, of course, the one song from this album I just kept on listening to because it was just pure nightmare fuel, fucking Club Down. That droning industrial synth, those horrific screams in the background with this really dense description of a club getting shot up. And what's creepy about this song, the creepiest about the song to me maybe, isn't necessarily like the beat or even the verses. It's that weird sing-songy chorus, you know. It's the city and you only see one. And it looks so pretty when it all begun. But the shit got to balance on the barrel of a gun. All the money in the world ain't gonna stop none of that gangsta shit. That gangsta shit. Just, God, chills, man. Fucking chills. Seriously, the way David comes up with these really dense takes for a lot of the subject matter without feeling obnoxiously pretentious, like, he's got plenty of shit to say from song to song, so he justifies it by cramming as many fast flows and dense lyrics as he can. Even if it's something simple, like, you know, Run For Your Life, where, you know, he's describing a gangsta bitch threatening to fuck your shit up, with that gangsta bitch being La Chat. It's fucking terrifying as hell. Legit, this album may very well be the most terrifying thing I've heard all year, even scarier than most of the actual death metal I've heard this year. And I've heard a lot of death metal. Anyway, time to move on from that to, of course, you know, we gotta talk about Danny Brown again with You Know What I'm Saying, which, you know, how do you follow up something as nuts as Atrocity Exhibition? Such a fucking wild-ass time, and you have to wonder, what does he do to follow up on that? And things start off on a pretty serious note with Change Up, which is really, like, a significantly moodier kind of Danny Brown piece about, like, persevering in the face of all the shit that life throws at you, with a beat that kind of, it's that usual experimental vibe, kind of mashing up, like, gospel, some grunge guitars, and even some boom bap shit. Of course, theme song dedicated to calling out all the bitch-ass haters that are trying to, you know, step up to him. And that beat has those weird, like, violins and stuff akin to, like, well, an old TV show theme. Then, of course, you get more of that weirdness with Dirty Laundry, with that quirky, synthetic, futuristic beat. Almost kind of like a heart monitor. And some really funny lyrics. Shit, the funniest lyric on the entire album, we did the Humpty Hump in a Burger King bathroom. And, of course, 8 balls in my jeans, fiends say it tastes like soap. And then, of course, you get that spaghetti western action vibe of Three Tears with that lo-fi tinge in the vocals. Actually, now I think about it, the whole album kind of has, like, that. The vocals feel very, like, rough in their production, like, more straightforward with less of the weird vocal effects and stuff. But anyway, yeah, you get that on Three Tears. And, of course, the fucking RTJ vibe, fucking killer as hell. Belly of the Beast has kind of, like, a really ominous, swelling, synthetic howl that drones through most of the song. With, of course, him offering more weird-ass boasts and lyrics, like, I eat so much shrimp, I get iodine poisoning, Stone Temple Pilot crash into the wall. Savage Nomad kind of has, like, weird twang guitars to it, and, you know, now that I think about it, there is a lot of this record that kind of has, like, almost kind of boom-bap beats and motifs to it in comparison to what Atrocity Exhibition was doing. Maybe that's a lot of, you know, the influence from Q-Tip on this thing. You know, him being from, like, that school of hip-hop and, you know, fusing in with Danny's weird production choices overall. Like, there's the weird strings on Best Life, or, of course, the jazz fusion nature of, like, Negro Spiritual, which, of course, has that good old JPEG Mafia stuff on it. In a way, you could say it feels like kind of a mellower record in comparison to Atrocity, one that feels like he's trying to move on from the wild points in his life that, you know, he was in, the state of mind he was in when he made that record. You know, all the shit that he's been up to in the past 3 years and everything. And, you know, some may lament the lack of the super crazy shit. Dude's still a damn great rapper that knows how to work a rhyme and bring plenty of his own weird personality to his tune. So, yeah, I'm with it. Now moving on to the next album here. One that took a 6 goddamn year wait to get here, but it was so deliciously worth it. We are, of course, talking about Onomatoguchi with USA, you know, in brackets, because they like to stylize their titles like that. 6 years, man, where has the time gone? Well, apparently not too far off if we're talking musical style, because they pretty much have not skipped a beat with this record. It opens, you know, it has the USA intro and then the immediate instant classic of Lorem Ipsum Arctic Anthem, built around those snowy, shimmering, chiptune synth melodies fluttering fast in the background. Those nostalgia-inducing chord progressions with plenty of energetic banging drums to kind of drive the vibe and everything. Then you get tracks like Sunset by Plane, which brings this intense rock energy, you know, not unlike their Scott Pilgrim soundtrack work, which can also be said of the fist-pumping banger BSX. Seriously, that thing fucking hypes you up like shit, and it even features guest vocals from the creator of Minecraft, Hatsune Miku. What, no one thought that was funny? I thought it was funny. Anyway, there's that synthetic instrumentation mixing up against actual rock guitar and drums. Even some noisy bursts of glitch and shit. BSX even has some blast beats in there for good measure. Yeah, blast beats and Onomatoguchi. That's a thing in the year of our Lord, 2019. And then, of course, there's some mellower sensibilities here. On My Own is a really great pop rock tune that meshes their chiptune sensibilities with great vocals from, well, someone named Hannah. And then the CRT Woods, which slows things down with a more cheery, buzzing synth melody, and this more halftime drum rhythm that, to quote, of all people, I didn't think he'd have an opinion on this, Jason DeMarco from Twitter, he says it sounds like Onomatoguchi going full M83. Not wrong, necessarily. It definitely has its very slower moments compared to, like, its just explosions of chiptune rock energy that evoke a deep sense of, like, sort of navel-gazing nostalgia, like the glitchy, stuttering vocal tracks and the halftime tempo of Air Online, the soothing mystic tones of Overwriting Incorporate, and even J-pop ideas on Up to You featuring Mesh. This album is just a lot of sugary, sweet, you know, fill you up with hope and nostalgic optimism fun. One that well was worth the 6 years it took to get here, and definitely one-ups Endless Fantasy in every conceivable way. Anyway, time to move on to the next project here, and who likes noise rock, kids? Yeah! Because there's a new Lightning Bolts album, Sonic Citadel, and it's noisy. It's very buzzy, fuzz-laden noise, with, like, distorted bass and fast-pummeling drums and vocals that sound like, you know, Bane screaming through a drive-thru. Remember, this is a top pick of mine, so I'm saying all this positively. I mean, how could you not when it opens up with a killer, off-kilter drum assault of Blow to the Head with its propulsive driving tom and cymbal fills and the heavily distorted bass work descending into, like, weird fills and stuff near the end. And then, of course, you get, like, USA is a Psycho, which has some really just huge-sounding triplet grooves and not just the drums, but also that, the actual bass grooves and stuff, which is just, you know, the way it ascends and descends through the song. It's just, it will get you moshing across the room, I'll tell you that much, man. Of course, Air Conditioning has a really fierce punk energy to it, and, you know, when you listen to some of the vocal work, combined with the bass riffing style, that song, and even the follow-up Big Banger with its more chugging riffs and everything, evokes a sort of all things to say in a noise rock project, a kind of System of a Down vibe. I mean, Air Conditioning kind of has like that toxicity thing going on, and then Big Banger's particular chugging riffs kind of have a hypnotized, mesmerized feel to it. I mean, there's pockets of sort of less noisy moments with songs like Don Henley in the Park, but then, of course, it's still overwhelmingly energetic noise, and, you know, when you got bangers like Tom Thump, it's just, there's not much I can say. You just need to let the noisiness of this fucking just fill up every pocket of your ears, because, as we all know, you will never escape the noise. The noise.
Noise.
Yeah, noise. Anyway, time to move on to the next project here. The debut full-length from the collaborative project between The Bug and Godflesh icon Justin K. Broderick, Zonal. And the album, called Wrecked, is a very interesting one because it kind of feels like two different projects slammed together into one. By what I mean, the first half of tracks is a collaborative set of tracks with rapper and experimental artist More Mother. We'll get to you next time. And it's a really great way to start things off and set a sort of tone overall. Mother's hauntingly deep voice works well to complement the sort of tuneless, gritty industrial beats provided by Zonal, like on the percussionless drone of Body of Wire or the rumbling bass synths of In Cage. More Mother's bars have this constant, like, creepy, echoing, reverberating ambiance. You know, the world is a cage, we're all in a cage, despite all my rage, we are still in a cage, stuff like that. System Error has this kind of vague boom-bap-ish thing intermixing with all the industrial production, with, you know, of course, her bars over top. And Medulla is this exceptionally menacing slow-burn trudge, you know, moving along slowly with the vocals echoing out. We're like, we're coming for your head, motherfucker. Spit this shit like I got a bounty on my head, motherfuckers. It's just very, again, almost like, yeah, just very creepy and appropriate for Halloween. Then comes the back half of the record, which is just pure straight Zonal material, starting with the title track that has this very rumbly, bassy pulsation, which occasionally has like these bursts of almost kind of like distorted broken horns with the hissing steam, which similarly goes into tracks like Debris, which chugs along at the same pace, has a lot of the same accentuations. Consistently from track to track, the album as a whole, it's got that really creepy metallic vibes that you would expect from everyone involved here. And while some may feel it's not a radically distinct thing from a lot of their other projects, what makes it work is, again, the high sense of refinement that they bring to this particular type of songwriting. They just know how to draw out the drones of everything for as long as possible so it seeps under your skin. And especially when you got something like Alien Within, which just drones on with no percussion to just, you know, fucking creep the shit out of you. It's a really creepy time. Now to move on to the next one here. So yeah, pretty much not too far from last year. Literally, he had an album out last year. We got the newest project from a synthwave producer, Ghost, with Valediction. One of the modern heavy hitters of synthwave, and I do mean heavy. Seriously, I still remember seeing him live alongside Dance with the Dead, and the man was on fucking fire with his gnarly jams and fucking satanic as hell safe stage presence. And if I recall correctly, I'm pretty sure I had Possessor on my best of list last year. One that saw his clout grow impressively to the point where he got signed to motherfucking Century Media Records. Talk about a glow up, man. Now, this being his first release on the label, it represents an interesting switch up to a lot of his usual dynamics. I mean, the album opener, Relentless Passing, features a lot of harsh, buzzing bass synths and plenty of black metal blast beats, but it's noticeably more vocal-driven than a lot of his other material, and that continues when you get into Wrapped in Wax, which, while it does have that ominous gothic demeanor, it feels moodier in kind of like a dark 80s new wave sort of vibe, especially with, again, a lot of the vocals over top it. This is pretty much his most vocal record. There's a lot more singing on this. I assume it has to be him as well, and maybe not just some collaborator. I should probably double check on that. But yeah, when you get to like Dreadfully Pious with a song that honestly is one of the dancier beats that Ghost has ever made, especially with kind of the major key synths, and overall, that's the point where the aesthetic comes clear. Like, the vocals with the synths and the songwriting is trying to be more 80s, new wave, and post-punk. You can definitely hear it with the bouncier grooves on Bloody Roses, the gothicness of She Lives in Red Light, Divine. It's just, I mean, it's not like the heavier aspects aren't still there. I mean, there's some fucking harsh screams and brutal kick runs on songs like Timeless Turmoil, and the claustrophobic synths and pummeling drums and screams on the album closer Severance. But overall, it's a pretty big switch up if you're familiar with the heaviness of his usual stuff, but it still works pretty well, even as a lighter sort of Ghost affair, mostly because he just has an innate understanding of how to get these particular styles to mesh with each other. I mean, yeah, sure, a lot of synthwave is very metal-oriented, but it's also definitely indebted to 80s new wave and post-punk, and he knows how to mesh it all together well. This album absolutely fucking slaps. Now, we're moving on to the next project here. It's probably one of the more polarizing ones to have in my top list, especially considering from the sales records, given that this is the apparently worst first week sales for this band in a long ass time. But you know what? I'm just going to say it. I really liked the new Norma Jean album, All Hail. But geez, damn, those albums, like, it didn't even chart. Like, I mean, it still charted on the rock charts, but it couldn't even scrape the bottom of the Billboard 200, apparently. Damn. And it's kind of a shame. Like, it starts off in pretty familiar territory. Orphan Twin having a lot of killer guitar grooves, this great mix of clean vocals and screams from Corey Putnam, and these damn fast and furious drum fills that are just, thoroughly on point. And then we get into the album's lead-off single and second track, Mind Over Mind, which, you know, as is quintessential for Norma Jean, this one is just the banger, and it is a quintessential banger with its fucking gnarly, swinging, massive guitar and drum grooves, bolstered with this really beefy, low-end bass in the mix. It's just a goddamn banger, and I could definitely see people moshing like shit at fucking concerts to this shit. Safety Last trades on a lot of rhythmic oddities, emphasizing some of the mathier tendencies that crawl in and out of their sound, especially with some of those really squealing chord progressions. And Landslide Defeater is another barn burner of a song that mixes in this melancholic bridge to offset a lot of the blown out grooves and some really squealing tremolos in there. If I had to pick a favorite track of the album overall, it would be Trace Levels of Dystopia, one that hits the gas and never lets up, with its chugging breakdowns, its stomping, driving drum rhythms, pounding away relentlessly as it builds and builds as this really menacing breakdown at the end. But admittingly, it's only really half the record. I mean, not that Norma Jean don't have their mellower, moodier side, but it definitely feels like the moodier tracks here are a lot moodier and a lot more laid back in a sense. You know, like, you have the song Careen, which is almost primarily clean guitars and vocals, maintaining that heavily somber tone. And then tracks like Full Circle in Under a Minute, Translational, and With Errors are really standard in their composition with slower tempos that feel more hook-ready. And like I said, I could see a universe where these things would probably be on mainstream rock radio, you know, in a world where Norma Jean got mainstream rock radio play, but you get my point here. to a certain extent, I could see why this might be a turnoff, given that their last few albums, especially Wrongdoers, had some really just consistent fire between them all. And truth be told, some of the tracks on here, the slower ones, can go in one ear and out the other. Probably If Lost and Leader being the most forgettable. But I do think the songwriting from them and the performances and everything are still consistently on point. And, you know, when it's on fire, it is on goddamn fire. Anyway, time to move on to the last two albums here. First off, going with Baby Metal and Metal Galaxy, aka Fuck You, Why Do You Write Da Da Dance and Put It On This Album? That is not fucking fair. This song has haunted every waking second of my dreams because this is the most ridiculous, stupidly catchy thing that the band has ever written, and it's just not fair with those fucking sugary sweet synthy J-pop shit and those goddamn fucking furious chugging as hell guitars. It's not fair. It's good, so not fair. It's not fair.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we've mentioned some of the previous singles, like Shanty, 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 with that heavy Indian Bollywood vibe against its usual J-pop motifs. And then Oh My Janai, which is kind of, I'm saying more Swedish Viking jam, just because I know Sabaton is Swedish in nature. And to a certain extent, once you hear that song, and you hear sort of Night Night Burn with, like, those Latin jazz big band motifs and, you know, Distortion with Alyssa White Glues on it, you kind of get a sense of what the big idea here is with this album. See, when they say Metal Galaxy, they're really reaching out there because, you know, ever since their last album came out, Baby Metal has been an undeniable growing force, especially internationally. Like, their shit isn't just confined to their native Japan. And this is an album that its thesis statement is trying to capitalize on that with a lot of those more international influences from, you know, Spanish music to Bollywood to, you know, Swedish Viking shit. You even have more American influences like Brand New Day with, you know, the Polyphia guys doing their more proggy noodly thing to appeal to that audience. Fucking, you know, the Swedish Melodeath vibes of Distortion, and, you know, there's fucking songs like In the Name Of, which is just a fucking brutally heavy, kind of distinctly deathcore-ish kind of thing. And you just hear, like, that influence. Like, this is their galaxy, and we're all living in it. And you know what? I don't care if this makes me sound like a young brat to the metal boomers out there. This shit fucking slaps all across, and I will fight anyone in an Arby's parking lot who says otherwise. But now we move on to my last pick here. Without a shadow of a doubt, a top 10 contender and my album of the month at the very least. Now, remember a while back when I said Periphery 4 was possibly the best Periphery album? That statement still very much holds true, but as for the best gent-related record of the year, sorry, Spencer and company, but you all got dethroned by the French. Uneven Structure, Paragon. Yeah, this is, they've been one of the best, and in my opinion, possibly the most underrated band of the gent genre. I mean, they've been around since, like, at least 2011. Like, that's when their debut album, I want to say Fibris, came out. And then we had to wait until 2016 for La Partition. I assume that's how it's pronounced. I don't speak French. But yeah, it's not too long of a wait, so now we get this new project, Paragon, and oof, that dramatic build-up from the album intro Magician, segueing into that phenomenal first proper song Hero, is just French chef hand kiss. The fast alternating cymbal snare sticking patterns, the driving momentum of the guitar riffs, syncopating in those odd intervals, floating into this heavy cosmic ambiance with the bends and the low ends filling out the mix. And then, of course, Matthew Romarin's vocals, which had this amazing gritty intensity just in the cleans alone, to say nothing of when the song gets fucking brutally heavy near its end and he goes fucking off, like soaring to cosmic heights and then slamming right back down to earth, especially that closing break where he's just screaming I'm the answer over and over and over again. It's fucking gnarly as hell and a great way to start the record. It segues into a somewhat slower jam with Innocent, which has, like, this, again, it's very mid-tempo, but it still feels huge with just the production of its guitars, how the low ends intermix with, like, the cosmic highs. And then, of course, you get the mid-tempo jam Outlaw, which has definitely heavy influences of Meshuggah with its particular off-kilter guitar rhythms and the drum passages being really heavy on the ghost notes and the fills and everything. Man, some of those riffs in that song get really down-tuned and nasty with some really killer screams above everything. Shit, the way it swaps back and forth effortlessly between its beautiful cosmic cleans and those savage, savage heavy parts is just their songwriting at its absolute best. Ruler is a really melodramatic tune that allows the clean elements to dominate as it builds and builds and builds and ramps up to that conclusion. And then once we get into the album's possibly its best track, in my opinion, Jester, with its really heavy syncopated riffs grooving with the dense drum rhythms, this brief clean bridge that fucking slams into a damn pummeling blast beat fueled heavy bridge and harsh screams that gets so down tuned and heavy, it kind of calls to mind like modern era Whitechapel, because you know they have played around with djent tones on a couple of their more recent albums, and seriously, Matthew's vocals get so fucking like heavy and low end, it's like fucking Phil Bozeman levels of gritty. Fucking Lover is a titanic swinging behemoth of a song that sounds like the gates of another dimension opening up to reveal fucking Sumerian deities that we could not possibly comprehend with our human minds. Seriously, I could just go on and on and on, but this album is just fucking djent at its absolute peak, taking the best elements of bands like Meshuggah, Whitechapel, and even some like older Tesseract influence here, and throws it at full force with great killer songwriting and production. It's just... So yeah, I liked it. And now we move on to the quick round here. And yes, I know there was a lot of albums I talked about there, but the quick round itself has a lot of albums, but I'm going to try to pummel through this as quickly as possible. First off, the new Exhumed album, appropriately titled, well, I mean, Horror. Yeah, what do you expect? They're not exactly innovating in that regard. But they kind of don't need to because, you know, they bring some to-the-point, quick, gnarly death grind just all over the place. With, of course, my track of choice being The Way I Entered This World and The Way I Want to Leave It, Naked, Screaming, and Covered in Blood. Don't ask me where the blood comes from. Of course, there's the new Gate Creeper album, Deserted, their second full length, and just another beefy slab of like that modernizing obituary style death metal with the huge grooves, the thick heavy production in the guitars and bass, and the vocals that are just full of growls that just echo out and, you know, suffocate the mix and everything. It's good shit. I really like it. Of course, there was a new Boris Project, Love and Evil, which this one definitely feels like it's on the more droning low-end side of things. You know, the songs are super slow and it's really a lot of like sort of bassy low-end guitar distortions with minor bits of vocals and guitars in there. It's that kind of Boris album. Not going to find a lot of energetic bangers on here, but hey, the drone Boris is still the good Boris. And speaking of drone, there was the new Sunno Project Pyroclast, which, I mean, yeah, it definitely feels like an extension of what Life Metal was doing. Four tracks of just, you know, straight up drone. If you're not with Sunno at this point, I don't know what to tell you. Of course, Desert Sessions decided to come back with a pair of new projects. Well, really, it was like eight tracks split between two volumes, volumes 11 and 12. And, you know, Josh Homme and company, you know, getting to do their weird, offbeat, deserty rock sort of thing. It's all right. I liked it. The new Alcest album, Spiritual Instinct. Yeah, I didn't even get to give this one a topic slot just because there was too much to talk about. But yeah, this one is definitely the very kind of moody sort of post-black metal vibes that they're usually known for. This one emphasizes a lot more of the prettier melodies that emphasize a somber mood overall. There's a lot of really great instrumentation and songwriting, especially with a lot of the drum work on here. And of course, when it needs to get heavy, it gets pretty suffocating in that regard. The new Insomnium project, Heart Like a Grave, it, you know, it pretty much sounds like more Insomnium. You know, a lot of those pretty solid melodic death metal melodies, the screams, the heaviness, the songwriting, it's all there. There was a new VHS Glitch project. See, I knew VHS Glitch was going to drop something in October. Night Hunt, which, yeah, you know, Creepy Synths, Synthwave, October, Halloween. You know the drill by now, just go listen to it. It's, if you still have, like, Halloween withdrawal, this album will do it for you. I did check out the new Chromatics project, Closer to Grey, which, you know, it sounds like Chromatics. It's very synth-poppy, very moody. Now we still need to know what the hell is even going on with Dear Tommy, because I mean, it's great, but, you know, there's just unanswered questions is all. Leprous. Yeah, this seemed like one of the more contentious ones with Pitfalls, because for the handful of singles, even though I like them, I was kind of with Alex. Like, I didn't really know what to make of what the bigger picture would be. And listening to the full length here, it definitely seems like this is not a bad album by any means. No. The instrumentation is great. The songwriting is good. Einar Solberg's vocals are consistently on point. But this album feels less like a Leprous album and more like a sort of backdoor Einar Solberg vocal project. That's like, that's really the only way I can describe it, since he definitely takes center stage a lot more than the rest of the band does throughout the record. It's not bad or anything, but if you're expecting a full-on Leprous album, maybe temper your expectations a bit. And last but not technically least, the new Swans album, Leaving Meaning, which, you know, it's Swans. There's a lot of those really lengthy, elaborate song structures. I mean, it's while it's only an hour and a half, it's definitely, like, shorter than the last couple of records by, like, a half hour. But it still spends a lot of time focusing on just, like, building those ideas and letting them just, you know, flow and drone and repeat onward throughout, you know, the whole thing. And yeah, that's basically it for the quick round. And now to go to the one low light, which, again, time to beat up on The Devil Wears Prada. Jesus Christ, what the fuck happened to Mike Ranica's vocals? Literally, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Like, this obviously sounds like a man who cannot do those kinds of screams anymore, but he's very clearly straining himself to hit those screams in any sort of way. I mean, you can hear it in Switchblade, like, he is hurting himself trying to do that, and it doesn't help that the material is just mediocre generic core, complete with an annoying industrial bridge segueing into this really lame-ass breakdown. Then comes Lines of Your Hands, which, yikes, is, I'm gonna be honest, it's pretty much a 2019 Hawthorne Heights track. And you never go full Hawthorne Heights. You should also never go full Imagine Dragons either. Isn't that right, Chemical? No, I'm not happy about that at all. I mean, shit, honestly, like, I could keep repeating myself. The whole album is just kind of that, it's really lame generic core with a vocalist who can't do it, but it's, God bless, I can't even say bless his heart, he's trying, because this is just sad. This just sounds like a band that should have hung up their coats after 2013, and, you know, fucking the mediocre industrial elements of, like, Isn't It Strange, which even has fucking trap hi-hats in there. Joy.
Oh, wow.
Don't like that song. Don't like the nothingness of Please Say No or Numb. But I will try to be kind and say exactly one nice thing about the record. I do like the song The Thread. I mean, it's far from any sort of instant classic, but compared to the rest of the record, at least the vocals relatively stick to what they can manage. And there is kind of energy there, even if it's just triplet chugs, breakdowns and stuff. Look, I'm trying to give it credit here, man, but this album barely gives me anything to work with. Jesus. And yeah, that's basically all I have to say on all of my picks and records and all that good shit. So, yeah, thank you for listening. Of course, you can find the playlist of all this shit down in the description. You can follow us on Twitter at SuroRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit SuroResolution.com. All the usual good business. You'll find those plugs and stuff in the actual, you know, description of this post. Of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. Eve, for letting me borrow his shit for this podcast. Links to it down in the description. We'll see you for the regular weekly nonsense and, you know, whatever year-end shenanigans come as, you know, we approach that time. So, until then, seriously, I want to throw Kokichi Oma off a fucking building.